Hey guys, we're live. It's your best fight friends. I'm Rachel. This is Kelsey.
It's Real Talk Live.
UFC 263 ended moments ago, and it was a stacked card. There was a lot going on.
Hold on, you can tell them about our guest host tonight, Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Not really. He's not here.
And hey, Kelsey's back though.
I'm back. Yeah, you had a live without me.
I did have a live without
because
you.
I was there.
You were there live.
Oh, no. See what we did? We did the same dumb joke. Hey, what a fantastic night, Rachel. UFC 263 was lit. It was on fire, baby. It was a stacked card. We knew going into it.
But
I had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's just start with the main event and work our way down. Okay. Whatever we want to talk about, because it's our show, so that's what we're going to do. Izzy. Marvin
Vettori. Wanted to be Italy's first UFC champion. And I really thought he had the style to give Adesanya some trouble. However, that didn't happen at all. Adesanya won every round pretty convincingly, and it was a 50-45 unanimous decision win for Israel Adesanya, who, of course, is rebounding off his attempt to become the next champ in the UFC.
Yeah.
He lost to Jan Blachowicz, remember? And he looked like he completely rebounded from that. Looked great. Even Vettori was able to take him to the ground sometimes. He didn't take him down as much as he needed to, but even when he got him down there, Israel Adesanya was able to explode out of that in time, and it was really, really impressive performance.
Yeah, I would say only at the very beginning of the fight did I think maybe Vettori had a chance.
Yeah,
and then after that, I could just tell, even it changed inside of Israel Adesanya, he became so much more confident, and he just, like, owned the rest of the fight.
Do you like watching Izzy fight? The way he fights?
I like watching, yeah. So I'm not, like, a huge fan of, you know,
Izzy being Izzy.
Yeah.
Where he's like,
I get, like, there's all different kinds of people in the world, and, like, I don't think Izzy and I would be best friends, okay? I mean, he's my best fight friend. We can be best fight friends, but
we see you, Izzy. We see you.
Not best personal friends. Anyway, but I do really like him in the cage.
Why? It's because of the things he says, right? Like,
I don't think we have, like, a similar, like, sense of, like, humor, or, you know, like, we just don't, and that's okay, because that's, people are different.
He goes over the line a little bit sometimes with some of the things he says.
But I do like him inside the cage, because I really like how lanky he is. So we were talking about how hard it was for Vettori to take him down. Now, it seems like Vettori only had one style.
Yeah, and he looked pretty raw. After winning so many fights, he looked pretty raw.
He's like, I can only do it this way. I'm going to dive into your hips.
And it was like, nope, can't do it.
But Izzy, I think because he's so lanky, he has this really great, like, angles and base that keep him from getting taken down. Mm. And I was even watching him at the end there in the last round up against the cage. You know, Marvin's, like, around his waist here. But it panned out, and I could see his foot. And, like, his feet were such a good wide base of, like, just the octagon floor there. So I do like watching him fight. And he seems very, very strong. He's, like, he's lanky, wiry.
Like, he's such a fluid striker. Like, the way that he can mix kicks and punches. He's really unorthodox, and at times, I think against in his last fight, that hurt him against Blachowicz, because Blachowicz is a really, really skilled Muay Thai practitioner. But against most people, he can do all that stuff, and he looked great landing all those devastating kicks everywhere, mixing those punches in, and really just dominating the fight. I think we do have to give credit to Vettori for one thing, Rachel, and it's that he put his shorts on the right way, right?
Okay.
Remember the promotional pictures looked like he had him on the back. He was the only guy that had him on backwards. So for some reason, nobody told him. But he did. We did check in this fight.
We did.
We visually checked that his shorts were on correct. Now, I only make fun of this and poke fun of this. It's not because it's like, it's because I do this all the time. My own life, right? I don't know how many times I've been like, oh, my pants on backwards or some ridiculous nonsense. So seeing another person go through that, you know, is just good for me. I think it's funny.
Now, let's move on to Mexico.
Viva Brandon Mexico. Moreno and
yes,
Davison Figueiredo. Now, I thought, Rachel, going into this fight, the Figueiredos were going to wreck this dude. Because the last fight, remember, he was actually sick. I think it was UFC 256. It happened at the end of last year.
And it was a draw.
I thought Figueiredo won that fight. But it was a draw. Fine. Judges, you know him better than me. But after the fact, it came out that Figueroa was like had food poisoning or something really, really sick. And you were like, oh, well, that's why he didn't just slaughter this dude, because he had just been whooping everybody. Well, dang, that didn't happen, Rachel.
No, Brandon Moreno had claimed that he was better. He deserved that belt. And we were kind of like, well, do you? Like, but it turns out that he indeed does. Like, man, he is the better fighter. And
he was tonight.
He looked great. It was so fun seeing him come in to that octagon with all the fans there, all the Mexican fans cheering for him. It was just, and I think, is he the first?
From Mexico, yeah. Amazing. Wow, and think of the amazing tradition of fighters that come out of Mexico in the sport of boxing. And, of course, he has a great boxing as well, but he is the first UFC champion of Mexico, and I think universally loved, according to my Twitter timeline, and in the MMA community. I'll tell you what, both of the fighters looked really, really excellent. I thought it was one of the better fights that I've seen, just how they were interacting with each other. And you're right, Moreno was a better fighter tonight.
Definitely. I also liked the scene from Figueroa. Just his love.
Tender heart.
For his opponent. And even in his post-fight interview, like, he said that he loves his neighbor and that he, like, wished, like, nothing but good, basically, for, like, his opponent, and said that, you know, God had brought the title to him, and now it was time for him to let it go, and it was going to Brandon Moreno, and he just accepts, like, what is. And yeah, it was just really, really great. I loved it. Loved both those guys. Somebody on the Twitter timeline said that Moreno, like, swearing just up and down in two languages was, like, his favorite thing in a post-fight interview.
Yeah, he was really emotional, and he was a guy that got cut by the UFC, right? Had to crawl his crawl all the way back to the top, get his title shot, then didn't get in the decision, then gets in the rematch, finishes Figueroa, which I did not expect. What an amazing performance. Congratulations to him.
Now let's talk Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards.
But let's talk about Leon Edwards as if he didn't win almost every round.
So this is my first time seeing Nate Diaz fight. So I've known from your writing that Nate Diaz has got a lot of fans. People love him because you write about him. He hasn't fought in like a couple years, but you write about him. People like click on it. It's, like, amazing, right? And when he came into the ring, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, the fans just, like, loved him. And then I've never seen somebody really fight like that. Like, the way that he did in the ring with this, like, oh, I'm going to, like, walk with my back to you and pretend you're not there. And then, like, ooh, I'm here. Like, I just never seen this kind of thing before.
Yeah, but a lot of histrionics from Nate. And, of course, Nate Diaz was trending worldwide on Twitter. Leon Edwards won the fight. He won pretty convincingly the first four rounds.
Yeah.
Was kind of worried that the stoppage would come because of the cuts. But then Nate Diaz exploded with a punch that really, really hurt and almost knocked Edwards down and out.
Yeah.
But Nate did the Nate thing, right? Instead of jumping on him and finishing him, he pointed at him. Like, you can't not be Nate. But that's why people love Nate. They love Nate for being Nate. I love Nate for being Nate. It was an excellent performance by Leon Edwards, a big win. He's won a slew of fights in a row in the welterweight division. He definitely deserves another shot, his first shot against his first title shot, right? He fought Kamaru Usman, but that was before Usman was a title holder. That was his last loss. That was in 2015. Get this guy a title shot. He looks great. He looks ready. I want to see him fight.
How exciting was it, though, when Nate landed that shot? It was the end of the final round, and we were like, oh, it's happening. Like, man, he's going to pull the upset over this guy, and, like, oh, yeah. But again, like, Nate Diaz, post-fight interview, fans just, like, going crazy for him.
I love that.
I think, like, Joe Rogan said it, too, that, like, this guy can win or lose or whatever. The fans are just with him, like, always. So I find that so fascinating.
I felt there's a really excellent writer who wrote a piece about who Nate Diaz should fight out. Who's that? I think it was Kelsey McPherson. That's his name, right? That's me. And can you believe that they haven't made the third fight with Conor McGregor yet? Because I can't. It doesn't make any sense to me. I know the kind of the history and Conor going off and Conor becoming champ and going off to do boxing and whatever. That fight, both of those fights are in the top three or four or five UFC pay-per-view events of all time. That was 5 years ago. The audience has grown. How have you not put those two superstars in the octagon together again? That's the fight that should happen next. I don't care. You don't have to read it. We'll put it in this. We'll leave it in this link maybe. But listen, I don't care if Conor wins or loses against Dustin Poirier. Make that third fight happen. Imagine, Rachel, a boxing world without Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fighting three times. It doesn't make sense. They're 1-1. Let's finish the trilogy. That's my grievance. I aired a grievance. I didn't even know I was doing it until it happened.
Happy Festivus. You aired a grievance.
Yeah. So that's my opinion.
Hey, what about the...
Can we finally talk about the thing that I think was...
Is it the...
The arm thing?
The arm thing?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I love that. Paul Craig. Who did he fight? The guy with... Paul Craig was a huge underdog.
Yeah, yeah. They can't show... Like, this was a pay-per-view, so I couldn't get a link from an official account that showed it. But like, it was crazy.
It was like one of the craziest things that I... It's like the feeling that I saw when he got him in the armbar.
I didn't
and
watch
whatever
it.
Move it is. Appeared to break the dude's arm. The dude appeared to tap, first of all. And then, like, the ref didn't stop the fight. And then he broke it. And then it's all, like, wobbly in there because it's broken or just... It turned out it was dislocated or whatever. And then the ref still didn't stop the fight. And so Paul Craig just has to, like, pound this dude in the face while his arm's, like, dangling. That's the craziest, most sensational thing that I've seen. I mean, this kind of thing happens in MMA. It's what makes MMA, I think, so amazing. It's just, like, it was so... I'm still like, it's so crazy what that was. I think Paul Craig might have to go to therapy for this. Like, he might have some, like, post-traumatic stress. Both guys might have to, right, after going through such a crazy thing.
Like, I don't know.
It was crazy. Congratulations, Paul Craig. That was a huge win. He was a big underdog, and man... I mean, it was just one. It was savage.
I couldn't watch it. I had my hand over my eye.
I couldn't stop watching.
I couldn't see it past, like, the palm. I was peeking through these fingers over here. Because anytime there is an arm or a leg, like, getting locked up like that, where I'm like, they might break it, like, I have to, like, exit. I can't do it. And so, but it turns out, you heard on event, whatever, what do you call that? I don't know what you call it. Telecast. That his arm was not broken.
Yeah, it turned out it was just dislocated. Well, so credit to Jamal Hill, right? He was the guy who had his arm seemingly snapped, but what also was super impressive and added to the amazement was that dude was just chilling like nothing happened. You know what I mean?
He was very calm.
He was upset. Like, he was upset.
No, and then he came
back.
And
he lost the fight.
In the cage.
It was just chilling. Like,
to, like, hold the ref's hand and not have his arm raised.
I was like, get into the hospital, guys. Well, I don't understand this.
Who let this guy back in the cage to walk around with his arm dangling? It was nuts. It was real, real nuts.
And I don't want to segue a little bit, but I'm like, Clarissa Shields, please watch this fight, and please don't put yourself in this position. This is, you know what I mean? I don't want to see her boxing career. It's crazy. Or minimally to know this, if you get caught in that tap, do you know what I mean? There's no tough guys in jiu-jitsu because you're going to sleep or something's going to break. Don't do that. I mean.
Well, that's what Paul Craig said. He said, what did he say? He said you either tap, nap, or snap. And he was like, he snapped. And I was like,
yeah, that's a saying, right? And it's true. Dude. Just tap. Like, there's no reason to do that, especially if you're a world-class boxer like Clarissa Shields. Anyway, that was crazy, and it was a great win for that guy. I think both, really, again, I really admire the guy who had his arm snapped because, like, that's so, it was pretty badass. Nice. So it was a fun night of UFC 263.
Yeah, UFC, really great card, top to bottom. Even we watched a little bit of the prelims, enjoyed the prelims. I thought it was really good. It was really fun. I like having the fans there. Yeah, just a fun night.
Yeah, really great night. Really great. And of course, UFC 264, Rachel, is coming soon, July 10th from Las Vegas, Nevada. That's in Nevada, y'all. Anyway, Conor McGregor vs. Dustin Poirier 3. My prediction for that fight is no matter who wins, Conor McGregor should fight Nate Diaz. Do you see what I did there? Just make the fight. I don't understand it.
All right, guys. We will see you next time.